I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are here in the studio in Colorado. We are up doing some upgrades to the equipment, working on audio quality, and also getting ready to start shooting some videos. So you are going to want to stay close by. Check out the YouTube channel. You can check out mine at Phil McKinney over on YouTube. Or you can also check out the Innovators and Network. Videos will be posted in both locations when we are producing regular videos, when we are here in the studio. Still working on how do we do that within the mobile studio. Also wanted to give you a heads up as listeners. We will be back at the Consumer Electronics Show in January with the mobile studio. If you or a guest want to come out and set up a time to meet with us, if you've got a guest suggestion who will be at CES that would be a good guest in the mobile studio, we'd love to hear about it. So just drop me an email over at phil@killerinnovations.com and we'll look into potentially getting them on the schedule. If you're going to be at CES, just stop on by. We will be in the same place we were last year, which is out in front of the convention hall. And you can always drop us an email, and we'll send you a detailed map so you can find us and just come by and say hi. So we know we're out a little bit early on that. That's not till January, but wanted to put that on your calendar so that if you are going to be in Las Vegas, come check us out. Now, this week's show is actually triggered by a series of events that actually happened this week. I get these alerts whenever someone is posting a story that uses any of my content, whether it be someone sharing the podcast or using content from the blog. And we're getting into election season, it's interesting on who will try to use or who wants to use your content as part of some political campaign. Now, the alert that I just recently got wasn't from a campaign. It was actually about a local news agency using some of my content to talk about a platform that a specific candidate for governor is using. And this particular governor, it's one of the states here in the United States. I'll give you the hint, it's on the East Coast, that is building his entire campaign off of the whole concept of the innovation economy. Now, we talked about the innovation economy a whole lot here on the show over the years. We've been talking about it literally for the last the 14 years of the show, we're probably talking about the innovation economy for the last 7 or 8. And it seems that it's getting some traction in this political season around, you know, economic rebirth of urban areas or reestablishing the fundamental economic growth engine for entire states in this case. And a number of states here in the U.S. have suffered significant economic downturns because of the fact that their economy was built on economic engines that just aren't growing. And in fact, some cases they have shrunk And in the worst case, they no longer exist. Now, my wife and I, we grew up in the south side of Chicago. Both of our fathers, and in my case of my wife, both of our grandfathers were tied to the steel industry. And if you recall back in the 70s, what happened to the steel industry in the United States, it just basically tanked, and that was the end of it. Now, it's interestingly enough, it's starting to come back. There's a resurgence because of the demand for steel. And some of those steel mills that were closed are now reopened. In other parts, heavy manufacturing, such as Detroit and other locations. So the politicians are trying to identify what is this new economic growth engine. And it seems to be the one that they're gravitating to is this concept of the innovation economy. So this particular news agency, lifted a couple of paragraphs off of a blog post of mine from January of 2017 on the innovation economy. What is it? Why is it important? And that's fine. They actually gave credit to us, for the article, et cetera. But it actually caused me to take a step back and ask, maybe it's time for us to kind of relook at this innovation economy post that I did in 2017, share it with those of you on the podcast, because you may not have seen this particular post over on the blog over at philmckinney.com. So I've got the blog here. Yes, I need to have paper in front of me because that was 2017. So this post is over a year old. But as I read through it this evening, it actually brought back a number of just interesting points to remind us. So we're going to cover and discuss this over the next couple of segments of this show. Would love to hear your comments and feedback. Put those down in the comments section over on the show notes or wherever you happen to have gotten this podcast. We'll find it, and we can start a conversation and a dialogue. So there's a number of thought leaders that are out there talking about this, what they call the new economy. Gary Hamel, very famous professor, wrote a lot of books on strategic thinking. He refers to it as the new economy. I refer to it as the innovation economy. Some experts out there refer to it as the creative economy. So what is the innovation economy? And again, this is looking at market growth and how do you think about market growth. And what this fundamentally is talking to is this fact of the innovation economy is really based on the creative abilities of the citizens, the ability for people to constantly create, innovate, and develop new ideas, new products, new services. And it's really the value that's associated to the ideas and not so much the value attributed to the physical nature of that product, the manufacturing, the use of raw goods, converting ore into steel and steel into sheet metal and bending that sheet metal and making a device. The real value gets attributed to the value of the idea. And we're seeing this in spades in Silicon Valley with companies like Apple and the margin premium Apple gets because of the creativity and the innovation of their teams. It isn't just the cost of the component electronics that go into the phone. It's the value that people place above and beyond that bill of materials that becomes the innovation value. And if you do really good innovation, customers will grant you that margin premium. That margin premium is the growth engine of the innovation economy. Now, there are a lot of cities out there who are trying to gravitate and grab a hold of this definition of the innovation economy. And even Detroit, which has gone through its downturns and massive vacancies in the housing market there. In fact, it's gotten to the point where the city is just bulldozing entire city blocks and creating new green spaces, but it's changing the landscape of Detroit. Detroit, however, has put together systems and programs and activities to try to encourage this innovation economy, encourage creatives to relocate into those cities and bring those creative powers to come up with entirely new kinds of products and services that will warrant an innovation premium that will in turn then drive the economic growth. Now, some of the more popular success stories that we know about, Silicon Valley being one, Boulder, which is, you know, where I'm living at now, Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, the Boston 128 route. And it's quite funny, as I travel across the country, particularly now, we're out in the mobile studio talking to people as we travel. Everybody has a Silicon something. You know, Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, University of Illinois, they call it the Silicon Prairie. You know, you name it, everybody is trying to come up with a means to capitalize on this creative economy. But it's really not, I don't think there's a lot of value in just copying or duplicating what others are doing. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show, about what are the things that you can do to encourage this creative or innovation economy within your local area, because it is the growth engine that will drive economic growth, job creation, people feeling more confident about themselves, the ability for communities to be established and to flourish rather than seeing them shrink. But this is not a quick fix, and it's not even something that can be done in a single political cycle of an election, 4 years, 6 years. This is long-term commitments to make these things happen. So don't go anywhere. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation on the innovation economy. What is it? How does it impact? And what do you make it work?
In the Know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now, 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're continuing our conversation with regards to the innovation economy. Last segment, we talked about the definition of the innovation economy. In this segment, we're going to talk about how is the innovation economy changing the world? Now, it's hard not to find all the proof points on where the innovation economy has had huge impact. And that includes starting in the tech industry. The birthplace of Silicon Valley is recognized as being the garage on Addison Avenue in Palo Alto. Bill Hewlett and David Packard started HP in that garage. And so the tech industry naturally became this highly creative, rapid expansion, unbelievable rapid growth. But that was just the match that started the flames. The flame of the innovation economy then quickly transcended pretty much all and every industry. And we've seen disruptions across a variety of industries. You know, look, you know, there's a meme going around on the internet around some of the crowd sharing technologies, such as the fact that the largest provider of overnight rooms, hotels, doesn't even own a hotel, and that's Airbnb. The largest fleet of vehicles to transport customers around is not a taxi company, and it's not a limousine company, and they don't even own a vehicle, and that's Uber. So you look at just the role of innovation, this creative economy, this ability to look at problems in a unique and completely different way is totally transforming economies, businesses, industries, and it's also highly disruptive to the employees and to the companies that have long been established. If you look at, for instance, at what Uber has done in the destruction of jobs in the taxi industry, you know, like in New York or London, where the taxi cab industry has decided not to roll over and play dead, but to actually confront Uber and take them to court and create their own applications to try to compete with them on the same grounds. So this innovation economic impact is just starting. We're just seeing it, whether it be, you know, like an Airbnb or an Uber or online stores having the impact on retail. I don't know about you, but, you know, every week or every couple of weeks we see, for instance, Sears listing a whole series of retail stores that are now going out of business. We're seeing more and more mom-and-pop retailers going out of business as more and more people shift their buying to Amazon, and then with Amazon Prime, you're getting your free shipping. So This effect of the innovation economy, this creative economy, is challenging itself to answer the question of what are the rules in which an industry operates, and what would I do to totally disrupt that industry? What would be if I was going to turn that completely on its head and completely change it? What would that look like? And that can be totally, radically disruptive to the employees in that base. And this becomes part of the challenge that politicians have to deal with. Now, we may think of it as hotel workers or taxi cab drivers, but it's impacting professionals also. One company has developed a chatbot and an artificial agent that will actually go and argue your case for you to get a parking ticket or a traffic ticket overturned. And it has an incredibly high success rate because it learns. It sends in the refute form, it poses its response, and then it learns which ones got rejected, which ones did it got the ticket reduced, which ones it got the ticket totally eliminated. And so we're seeing, you know, the replacement of lawyers that you would take to court to fight, in this case, you know, traffic tickets. You know, doctors, diagnosticians, looking at x-rays. Now a lot of the x-ray reading is actually occurring offshore. So you take your x-ray at a hospital, you know, you're playing weekend softball and you tweak your knee, you get the x-ray. That x-ray, odds are, is going to India. Someone in India is reading that x-ray, and then that information's coming back. What does that do for the doctors that are employed here in the U.S. or anywhere in the world for that matter? So the real question is with these changes, what does that impact, or what is its unintended consequence? Maybe, or its intended consequences, depending on how you look at it. But for instance, students today are seeing where this shift is happening, and you're starting to see this whole transformation of the educational model. So not only is it impacting the current industries and the current employers, it's having a huge wave, huge ripple effect back into education, and that includes the whole launching of STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, and math. I like to throw the A in there for art, so it's STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And students are looking to say, how are you going to prepare me to compete with, in an economy where new industries are being disrupted continuously? I have to use technologies that have never been invented to solve problems that don't even exist today in the classroom. So the old days of memorizing formulas and memorizing problem solutions is not what prepares the people for this economy. It requires a completely rethinking of the educational model, more on critical thinking skills, finding and exercising that creativity, teamwork, collaboration, leadership, ideation, coming up with alternatives, and then doing hypothesis testing. You know, we got this idea, this might work, how would we construct a test to see if it's going to work or not, and then off we go. So this shift, the changes that we're seeing in the innovation economy is impacting students, it's impacting industries, it's impacting existing employee base, but it's also impacting the aging population. As those jobs get replaced, are you going to get yourself reskilled to compete in the innovation economy, or are you going to find an early retirement or some other means to basically step out? And this is an exact flashback to the 70s in the steel industry. In the case of my father and my father-in-law, they didn't reskill. They were at an age where they could see retirement within eyesight, and they ended up just struggling through and finding a niche that they could continue to work at until they could get to that retirement age. But that is pretty disruptive to the economy, to social services, to the whole program. And these are the things that politicians and us as society really need to think about. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back continuing this conversation on the Innovation Economy.
And here's today's BRP safety tips. Riding outdoor recreational vehicles can be fun. These safety tips can help make your outdoor experience safe and enjoyable. Enroll in a motorcycle, ATV, snowmobile, or water safety course. Depending on the vehicle, always wear protective gear. Helmets, life jackets, goggles, long sleeve shirts and pants, and gloves will help keep you incident free. Always stick to the correct and legal number of people on your outdoor machine. And now a word from BRP.
It's time for the Yellow Tag sales event at your local BRP dealer, where you can save big on new Can-Am off-road vehicles. Can-Am vehicles were made to perform and make the most out of any challenge. And right now, quality costs less, because you can save up to $2,000 on select Can-Am vehicles. Just stop by your local BRP dealer right now before the Yellow Tag sales event is gone. Offer ends September 30th, 2018. Certain conditions may apply. See dealer for details.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Attention investors, respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. In this segment, we're going to continue our conversation on the innovation economy. Now, so far, we've taken a look at what is the innovation economy. We covered that in segment one. Segment two, we talked about how is the innovation economy changing our world. In this third segment, we're going to talk about why is the innovation economy important? Why should we care? And the way I think about this is you've got to think about the innovation economy really is going to make huge and far-reaching waves that are going to impact pretty much all of us in our jobs, our schooling, our retirement, our free time. There's been a lot of fear, for instance, around AI innovations. What's that going to do? And does that totally replace entire, it's going to change our entire lives from the standpoint of work. But I look at that on the flip side. If you look at the role of innovation, it's going to, not only is it improving the efficiency of business and allows business to make more money and to make more profit, but it also is going to take the burden off of the employees to do manual, repetitive kinds of things. It's actually going to potentially, maybe it even leads to a shorter work week. Maybe we go to a 4-day work week rather than a 5-day work week. It's going to make our day-to-day lives easier, more convenient. We're already seeing that. I don't know about you, but pretty much Amazon and Etsy and all those places know exactly where I live, because I have enough of those boxes stacked up around the house to basically my biggest challenge now around my house isn't what you normally would think. It's dealing with the cardboard from all of the purchases and all the things that arrive. Now, I choose, though, to still buy locally, and I only buy things online that I can't easily get locally. You're seeing this shift for these economic changes. And if you look at, some of the states that have already, made this shift to the innovation economy, they're already seeing it. And that is, they got ahead of it, a decade and a half ago. And the one state that, probably stands out the most, people would think California, that's a little bit atypical, and that's why I don't typically talk about Silicon Valley. What I'm talking about is states like Massachusetts. And if you look at what Massachusetts did, for instance, Massachusetts has the highest percentage of bachelor's degrees holding adults. Now, I'm not a buyer of college as the indication of creativity. But when you look at that statistic and you look at the next statistic of how many people are in creative jobs, meaning they're in product development, they're in, industrial design, et cetera, like those things. Massachusetts has a huge, huge number of jobs that are aimed specifically, at the creative economy. Massachusetts also, as a result of its innovation economy, has this phenomenal growth rate. If you look at the growth rate of Massachusetts compared to, typically the other states, and specifically in the innovation sectors, sectors that are in high growth, that are disrupting or being disrupted, is driving huge, huge changes. And the real measurement is the economic output. What is ultimately the output that's coming from these creative jobs? And that is, in the case of Massachusetts, it's 210 billion, that's with a B, $210 billion. And it puts Massachusetts, from an innovation economy perspective, the leader in economic output from its innovation sectors. And therefore, other states and other countries, I get contacted by government officials all the time looking for what are the three things that will drive this kind of economic growth. Massachusetts is an example where it's not a quick fix. You can't just sit there, hope for something, click your heels, go to bed overnight, wake up the next morning, go, woohoo, we've had success. It doesn't work that way. Especially when you think about the impact of the innovation economy comes from having workers who are prepared, which means education that prepares the students to be able to work in the innovation economy. And it also deals with the time it takes to attract, putting together incentive programs, investment models. How do you attract those people that are the creatives to be part of your innovation economy, and that allows you to drive growth? Now, what I will tell you is the innovation economy is here to stay. It's not a blip thing that's just around for a couple years and it's going to go away and we're all going to roll back. The fact that the innovation economy has been established and growing over the last decade and a half proves it's got staying power. Two, we can all sit back and look at our lives today and point to the innovation economy impact on our own lives. The lowering cost of goods and services, the breadth and availability of new products and new kinds of services and new technologies, new creative ways to fund those, whether it's crowdsourcing approaches or the reduction of cost that it really takes for a startup to get going now. The cost for doing a startup these days is so ridiculously low that that is not a barrier. What's the barrier is the ideas. How are you going to come up with the idea for that new product, that new service that you're going to build your economic well-being on, and how do you make that happen? And the reality is that any individual in any organization can be take advantage of this innovation economy, can be a leader in the innovation economy. We are all naturally creative. You've heard me say this how many times? We are all naturally creative. We are born creative. I've got 5 grandkids under the age of 6. I look at my youngest of my grandkids, and if you hand them a toilet paper roll, they will find literally tens, if not hundreds, of ways to turn that into some kind of a toy. They use their creativity every day. My grandson, who lives not too far from us, I will sit there on the floor, and he and I will be playing Legos, and he will make up characters. We will have an entire conversation. My biggest fear is that something squashes that natural innovation, that natural creativity that these kids have. How do you nurture that, and how do you keep that going? But that takes lead time to put the programs in place, support that in order to have that innovation, create economy. We are all creative. Why do most people, in fact, 75% of adults do not think of themselves as highly creative? Why? We've been taught conformity, right? We're taught in school, think alike, act alike, dress alike, don't stand out. You might get, you'll get bullied, so don't stand out. Then we get through college, we graduate, and the number one skill CEOs are hiring for today is creativity and innovation. So we're taught to conform until our day one in the job, and then you got to be different. We have to unteach ourselves that conformity model and refine in ourselves that childlike curiosity, the fresh eyes to look at problems in a new way and bring all of ourselves every day into the work world. Bring our ingenuity in to be successful and help the organizations that we want to be part of. The innovation economy is here to stay. The question I have for you is, do you have what it takes to keep up? Do you have the wherewithal to find that creative child that's inside of you, to find those fresh eyes to look at the problems, look at the opportunities, and not just come up with the ideas, but translate those ideas into innovations. My definition of innovation is ideas made real. Ideas made real. It's not about just the ideas, it's about making them real. So hopefully you found this useful. We will have a link to this article. It's from a January 2017 post I wrote over at PhilMcKinney.com. It seems to be one that's getting a little bit of traction now as we go into the political season. We've had a handful of people who quoted bits and pieces of it that are all looking to use innovation economy as a platform to get elected. I'm a little skeptical. People like to throw around the word innovation. Are they serious? Time will tell. But take a look at it. Read it. Love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Put your comments over at killerinnovations.com. Don't go anywhere. We have the fourth segment, and we'll share with you 5 minutes to new ideas, a question that will help you spark and find that next great idea.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the Local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
This segment of the show I call 5 Minutes to New Ideas. Designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Get your notebook out and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 Minutes to New Ideas. What is your organization's philosophy about design and development? Do you keep everything in-house, or do you outsource as needed? There are two schools of thoughts on this. By keeping the design process in-house, a company can build a sense of continuity and cohesion that links the entire family of products together in some satisfying way. Or you can go as outsource as needed, hiring talent for specific products and moving on once that product is complete. Now, neither is right or wrong. The more important point is to have a rationale for whichever strategy you choose and to extract the most value from it. Look at a company like Herman Miller. Their Aeron chair was an iconic design for the technological age, back when it was first launched. But it wasn't designed internally. Instead, Herman Miller outsourced the design to leading designers that have their own firms. The famous husband and wife team of Charles and Ray Eames designed the classic 1950 Eames chair the same way. The point is that Herman Miller knows what their strengths are, manufacturing and distributing the final product. They also have a huge amount of practical expertise. For instance, they have experts in ergonomics, the less obvious details that are critical to the overall comfort and practicality of a chair. They share this very specialized knowledge with the designers, and then they throw the company's expertise into selling the final piece of furniture. Herman Miller has a very different idea of where design, research, and development should take place. Herman Miller has adopted the philosophy that it's more important to ensure that the best and brightest are working on their products and that this is the highest priority than making sure the work is done in-house. While I was CTO at HP, the innovation team developed a product called DreamScreen, an all-in-one PC with a unique set of features for the India market. So why would you design that product in the United States? If you're going to design a product for a specific market, then you need to throw out the rules of how it's being done in the past and do the R&D closer to the customer. So, we sent a team to India, we interviewed 2,600 customers, and we drove the R&D from India, closest to the customer. Sometimes you have to put your resources in the right place to get the right results. You need to be aware of the fact that your team will have gaps in their life experiences, their beliefs, their focus. This may not matter in 99% of the products you assign them, but there will be times where these gaps are a problem. Consider the possibility that you need to look outside your walls to find the right brains for the specific task. You aren't going to have 100% of the resources you need inside your organization. It's just too costly to keep these highly specialized people on the bench until you need them. If you are an employee in one of these specialized departments, you need to be aware of how this shift is going to change your value to your organization. If you believe there's coming transition to the creative economy, then your future worth and career is dependent on your ability to come up with ideas for a number of companies rather than just one. As soon as you go dry, you are out of luck. Another element of this killer question is that you need to consider is the concept of open innovation, which has been a hot topic for the last few years. Open innovation is the approach where organizations go outside to secure a funnel of ideas. One example is companies who partner with state universities to leverage government-funded research, or companies who sponsors promising high school students in the hope that they will join their workforce after graduation. The U.S. government is using programs like TopCoder to create open-source idea channels. Companies like Procter & Gamble post tough engineering problems on dedicated websites and offer prizes for the first person to come up with a solution. So how does this affect you and your business? No matter what size your organization is, you have to recognize the importance of embracing the open innovation concept as you source your ideas. One of the challenges with innovation today is that many people believe that high-impact innovation comes from large companies. However, the U.S. Small Business Administration reports that while small firms are granted only 8% of all patents, they receive 24% of all patents issued in the top 100 emerging technologies. That's right, 8% of all patents, but they're 24% in the top 100 technologies. So the source for ideas in the new and emerging areas is strongly influenced by startups. Patents issued to small businesses are not broad, generic patents, but are focused on very specific innovations and have the biggest scope and the highest return. It's why you see so many examples of large companies acquiring these young, innovative startups that are focused on a very specific area that is of interest to them. This means that large companies are looking for sources of innovation outside of the four walls, and they realize that they need to be part of what others are doing, either by partnering with innovative startups, acquiring them, or investing in them. Procter & Gamble has stated target that 50% of their innovations need to come from outside the company, which forces their people to seek out others who are doing interesting stuff, not just rely on what's happening in the building. Innovation used to be all about confidentiality, funding your own research and development. The future is different. This shift from the knowledge economy to the creative economy requires that organizations think differently about their funnel of innovations. The fundamental value in the new economy is ideas, and ideas can come from anywhere. You don't need machinery or a lot of capital to have ideas. The creative economy relies on the individual's ability to come up with ideas that are interesting and compelling. The sourcing of those ideas can come from anywhere, and you need to recognize that they are really, really smart people all over the world. So in order to stay in the game, you have to be on the constant lookout for where that next great idea is going to come from. Because even if you aren't looking for it, I can guarantee that your competitors are. So ask yourself, where do we perform product research and development, and where else could this be done? Challenge the traditional rules of R&D by asking yourself, are you doing your R&D 100% internally or externally, and do you really understand why you do it this way? How confident are you that you have the best possible R&D teams working on your projects? And what would be the result if you radically changed your approach to R&D? By asking the uncomfortable questions on something as important as your research and development, you open yourself to ideas coming from areas you never before considered. I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note over at phil@killerinnovations.com. If I could ask for a favor, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show. This episode of Killer Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.
The
opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.